Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
From among us to just to see people grow in the Lord. And Father, help us. Help us this morning. If we can't do anything else, just to say, just to breathe easy and to know that you got it. That you got it. It's okay. The things of the church, the things of the world, the things even with ourselves. None of this is bigger than you. Help us to rest in you today and to sing your praise. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. y'all catch that? That I am who you say I am? Can I ask you a question? When God said, let there be light, what was there?
Light.
When God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence, what happened? They came into being. So if He says, I'm a child of God, what am I? Why would we argue? Why would we doubt? Why would we wonder? Why would we be insecure? If God says we are, then what?
We are.
We are. Let Him be the boss. Let Him be God. Let Him be the Father. He says, you believe in me, you will be saved. I'm not going to argue with Him. His Word's powerful. He makes us what He wants us to be.
Nothing else matters. Nothing
out of this week. It's all right. We a nosy church. I was like, if y'all listen real close, just listen. Hold on. You can. It's okay. It's loud. It's all right. We got some breathing going on. Heavy breathing. That's all right. Breathing's important. Y'all about got me sidetracked now. Nani's class, are y'all ready to break? Ready, break. Here they go. There they go. Nani's class is breaking. There they're going. They're going. Hey, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're continuing in the idea of the name of the series in Corinthians is The Church of God for Real. And the reason why I put that there is because we're going to talk about the Church of God as it is, not the way necessarily we think it ought to be, or not the way we idealize church, and sometimes we idealize family. I remember having a conversation one time, and somebody said, well, Brother John, the church ought to be like a family, and people ought not get hurt, and people ought to take care of each other. And I said, excuse me, but can you think of any institution other than the family that's hurt more people? And so you're exactly right. The church is like a family, and people get hurt in both. You got immaturity in both. You got immorality in both. You might not have immortality in both, but in the church you should definitely have immortality. You know, he preaches to this church, this letter to the church in Corinth, is to a church that struggles just like everybody else does. And I think God put it in here, not to lower the standard of what church should be, but to show us and to tell us, hey, it's for real. This is how things happen. It's not all perfect and roses and you know, halos and wings and harps and things. It's for real. And so he gets to this part where he starts talking about spiritual gifts. So we're in the series in 1 Corinthians is the Church of God for real. And like everything else, the Corinthians have taken the idea of the spiritual gifts and they've applied their own thinking, their own ways, their own old religion to it and everything. And they had it kind of out of shape. And so Paul is writing to them and saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about these or uninformed about these spiritual gifts. And so I'm going to tell you about them. And that's what we started looking at. We looked at the first part of chapter 12 last week, or the week before, which is about the Spirit. Talking about, he's really the Spirit of God, the third person in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a giver. He glorifies Christ. He is the boss. You know, if you want to talk about who's the boss here, look, God's the boss. God, the Holy Spirit, He rules and reigns in His church. That's who's the boss. He leads. He lifts up Christ. He equips the people. He gives gifts to believers as He sees fit. It says He distributes to each one as He pleases, which means He has the sovereignty to make those decisions about what people give. That is the Spirit. This week we're going to talk about the body. Talking about us and how He works in us and what that body should look like. One of the things I'd like to say right off the start, if God says the church is the body of Christ, what is the church? Remember the song we just had? You know, if He spoke light into existence, let there be light, and there was. If I am who He says I am because He's God, my Creator, and my Savior, then the church is what He says we are too. We are the body of Christ. We're the family of God. We're the flock of the Good Shepherd. We're the bride of Christ. There's a lot of things He says about us. We're the family of God, the children of God. These are things He says about us. Well, here's one of those descriptions. We're the body. We're the body of Christ. And as if the hands and feet of Christ Himself were continuing to minister through the power of the Spirit through what? Through us, through His church. We're the ongoing work of Christ. We're the manifestation. What is a body? If it's not the appearance, the manifestation, the visible aspect, we are the visible aspect of Christ. People say, well, I just want to see Jesus. You will soon enough, I promise. Every eye will see Him, just like every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Until that day comes, we're the body of Christ. And if they want to see Him, then let them know that we've been saved by Him and we are here representing Him as His body. When the Bible says, when God says, this is what you are, that is what you are. He's God. Let's not argue. All right. 12 through 31 in 1 Corinthians 12. This is what the Bible says. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat them with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed the church in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just allowing us to be here to worship you, to be the choir, to be those who are cued in to your goodness because we've come to see Christ, because you've brought us to a relationship. And if there's any here without a relationship with Christ, Father, cue them in. Bring them on board. Bring them into your family. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, this is such an awesome passage about church. And I love just the defining statement. And this is a little bit further down in our text. But in verse 27, just to go with what we're saying, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. That's what God's word says about you and about me and about us together. That's who we are. It's so cool to me to have such a clear description from God speaking it out. This is who you are. Oh, let's fill that up. Man, there's never a need for us to feel like we're not going to get where God wants us to go. Failure and success is not based on us, not based on our power. It's based on God and His power. And if we started looking at it that way, maybe we'd start being a little more confident in what's going to happen and who God's going to make us to be. We look around and we see our failures and we see our faults. We see our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And we think, oh man, I ain't going to get there. Oh man, this ain't working. We look around the world and we see divisions and arguing and fighting and war. And we think, oh man, it's not going to get there. But if we would stop and we would look to God and we would consider God and who He is and what He says, we'd go, it's going to get there. God's going to get it there. God's going to get me there. God's going to get us there. Somebody might say, how? Man, shoot. I don't even care. But that's me. And I know there's other people who care. I want to know how, John. He's going to do it through the body. He's going to do it through the Spirit. He's going to do it through His Word. He's going to do it with power. He's going to do it, though. It's going to be Him that has it. It's not going to be you and I. And the more we can see ourselves in that, the more we can see God being powerful, but also for us. Did you catch that song? We sang a song and said, God is for us. God is for us. When I counsel with folks, when I talk to folks, and maybe even some here, there seems always to be a doubt. Is God for me or against me? Does God love me or not love me? Can I tell you one of the most successful campaigns by the world, the flesh, and the devil is to make the people of God doubt the love of God for them. One of the greatest campaigns that the enemy has run is to keep us unsure about whether God is for us or against us. And there needs to come a time, a reckoning, when we say, no, the Word of God is plain. He is for us. He has something for us. He did not have to create us. He chose to create us. He did not have to plan a way for salvation. He chose to save us. He didn't have to call any of us, but He chose us. Therefore, let me always remember, He is for us, not against us. And this passage shows it. He wants to build us. He has something for us. He's not against us. Okay? So if we can get that in our brain, man, we would take a giant step forward as the body of Christ. We would be bold. We would be confident in our witness. Let's look at this first paragraph. It says, one body, different parts, but all immersed and filled with the Spirit of God. So even when we look at the body, we still want to recognize the Spirit's role. The body is made up of different parts. He makes this so clear. It makes me want to sing that song. You know, and I'm not really anatomically correct in my thinking, but you know, the hand bone's connected to the wrist bone, and the wrist bone's connected to the arm. And the arm, not the thigh, I'm better than that. You know, the arm bone's connected to the shoulder bone, and the shoulder bone's connected to your neck bone, your neck bone to your head bone. Whatever it is, y'all know the song. How's it go? It's foot bone, isn't it? That's where they start. Foot bone's connected to the leg bone. Leg bone's connected to the knee. Hip bone. Hip bone's connected to the other bones. And all connected. And the ribs are all up in there. We got all these bones, and it's so cool. But you know, God, you know, this is the whole thing He's saying. It's different parts, right? You got different parts, but it's one body. I love it. He almost gets ridiculous here for a minute. He's like, if it was all an eye or if it was all an ear, where would that body be? In other words, if we all were the same, it'd be like there's a giant eyeball laying on the ground. Like, weird. Whose eye is that? You know what I'm saying? He didn't say you are the eye of Christ. You're the eye of Christ. Okay. You know, just big. It's weird. Right? We're different in who we are, personalities, gifts, shapes and sizes. Look around. Do you think, y'all, we see differences and we almost always immediately try to attribute fault. Why are they different? Why are they different? We don't like differences. We don't like different cultures. We don't like differences. Why is Big John so big? Because he likes buffets. That's what I hear. You know, we want to assign fault. But I'm going to tell you, even if I stopped eating buffets, curse be the day. Anyways, even if I stopped eating buffets, I'm still kind of a big guy. Because, you know, I'm just not a little guy. You know, this is not, you know, there's bones. There is bones under here eventually. You know, you get down to the bones. But, so I'm different. Not everybody can grow a beard in 3.5 days. You know what I'm saying? I'm different. You know, it's just, but you know, we look around, we have different sizes, different shapes, different colors. Is it bad? No. It's the way God designed the body. It's the way He designed the human race, and it's the way He designed His church. So there's no way that we ought to think we ought to always be the same, like some kind of cookie cutter, weird. Y'all ever see that movie, Stepford Wives? If you haven't, don't see it. It's just weird. But anyways, this cookie cutter thing, this mentality of uniformity. If you're not exactly like me, if you don't do like I do, if you don't like the Bible books that I do, if you don't believe the Bible is exactly the way that if we could push on from this and say we are the body of Christ and we're different and we like it. We live in this time where if you're different, it, it's like you've got to, everybody has got to agree, and if you don't agree, it means you hate me. I was watching this man talk, and he was talking about transgenderism, he was talking about homophobia, and he was talking about these things, and he said, just because I don't agree doesn't mean I hate you. Just because, even if I'd say, man, this is sinful and it's against the Bible, doesn't mean I hate you. It means we don't agree. But can I tell you, even in different things, there are some insights that we can learn from different folks, even if that different is way different. Man, we ought to be respectful. We ought to be learning. We ought to be telling the truth, and we ought to be telling it in love. But we live in a time where differences are so not tolerated. But we come on this passage, just as there's many, though one, it has many parts. Even so, the body is made up of it's not made up of one part, but of many. It's so good. Y'all, when we start coming to say it's so good, we'll start appreciating one another. We'll say it's so good that you're here. It's so good that you're with us. It's so good that we're together because we need what you got. Okay? And all of it comes from the Spirit. The Spirit is said to be the kind of the surrounding, the factor in here. It uses two things that says all of us have about the Spirit. It says you are all baptized in the Spirit. The word baptism means to be immersed. It's to be submerged. That's what the meaning of the word. I'm not talking now necessarily about water baptism, but I'm using the picture of that word, where it means to be submerged in. It says all of y'all are submerged in the Spirit. It's like you've been put into the Spirit of God. You've been baptized in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. But then it says, you all have been made to drink of the Spirit. What does that mean? It means we're drunk on the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I knew you were good. And yeah, but it means not only am I in the Spirit, but the Spirit's in me. So what does that mean? If He's on the inside and He's on the outside, it means, man, we're living in this spiritual realm. It's a pretty awesome thing. You ever hear that God inhabits the praises of His people? You ever talk about where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, He'll be there in the midst? You know, think about that. You ever hear, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit? You ever read through the book of Acts when they said, and then they were in the Spirit and they spoke, and they were in the Spirit and they witnessed, and they were in the Spirit. You ever hear what it says? Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you with power, that you might be my witnesses to all the world. This venture of the body is a spiritual venture. It's driven and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. It's pretty awesome. I remember coming to some understanding on this because as a young preacher, the year was 1990. I don't know what it was. No, it wasn't that long ago. But I remember wanting the house to be filled. Lord, fill this church full of people. Fill this church full of people. And I would pray that. And I never felt just quite right about it. And I remember God kind of tweaking my prayer and said, why don't you pray that the people in your church are filled with me, instead of praying that the church is filled with people. Because if the people in the church are filled with the Spirit, the house is going to be filled at some point or another. And so I started praying, God, just fill us up. This is a spiritual venture we're on. Okay? It's never just about programs. It's never just about money or personalities or other things. We're the body of Christ, and we are animated, driven, powered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's look at this next, the big chunk. Verses 15 through 27. 15 through 27 is wonderful. It's one of those passages that reveals to me how much God knows about us. Would you all take a venture with me for a second? Let me ask you, do you believe that there's people in this world who know you better than you know you? Do you think there's people in this world who know you better than you know yourself? Do you think there's anybody like that? Like, I'm easy. I'm even though I'm an only child, I should be a wizard about myself. You know, my mom can probably prophesy what I would do throughout the day and make every decision before I know. You know, there's people who know me better. Sometimes I'll go to the doctor and they'll tell me there's things wrong with my body that I didn't even know I had those things. You know, there's people who actually know my body physically better. Can anybody right now We'll take a little test. All right, it'll be easy. Ready? Point to your liver. Pat, you already won. You know what I'm saying? Point to your liver. Where's it at? All right, where's your appendix at? Where's your gallbladder at? Right side? And your spleen, where's your spleen at? Where's your spleen? I'm going to try to keep it good. You know, lungs? Lungs are in there, right? Where's your pancreas at? No. Is your pancreas important? How big is a pancreas? Is it big? It's this big? I have no idea. I mean, really. How big is a thyroid? Where's your thyroid at? It's in here somewhere? You know, there's actually people who can cut your body open. And I think this is a miracle. Some of the things that God allows them to do. I see Stephanie back there. Stephanie and Annie, I'm calling them out right now, even though they were talking. But they've witnessed a miracle. I know, I got busted. Right when I was going to lean to them, they were talking to busted. But, you know, Philip just had open heart surgery and he had 5 bypasses on his heart. Quintuplative. You know, it's funny because if you have 1 bypass, you say, I had a bypass. If you have 2, you say, I had a double bypass. If you have 3, you say, you have what? A triple bypass. If you have 4, you had a quadruple bypass. And if you have 5, you just say, I had 5. All those Latin words and Roman numerals and stuff, you know, it's not the win. I just had 5. Because it's because I had 5. Cinco de mucho, and is the way they say it in Españolo. But there's people who can go inside you, and they know where everything is supposed to be a lot better than you know. And if there's people who know you better than you, can we say this? God knows you better than you. Can you go with that? Can I tell you, when you read the Word of God, not only should you be looking at what it says about God and finding out truth about God, but you should be looking at it, finding out the truth it says about you. The Word of God doesn't just show us truths about things that are out there and up there. It shows you things that are in here. And when I look at this passage, this big paragraph, he says there's 2 things in the body of Christ that we got to watch out for. 2 things. One, people who have such a low self-esteem of themselves that they think they're no good in the body of Christ. They think they can't be helpful. They think they're not useful. They think, what can I do? What am I? Who am I? Listen to this passage again. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just some of it. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it's not. That's no reason to stop being a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that's no reason. Listen, do you hear? It's like the foot and the ear, they got a little bit of an identity problem. They got some self-esteem issues going on, right? They feel kind of low. I can't tell you how many times in the body of Christ I've been told, I can't share my faith because I don't know how, or I don't know what to say, or I don't know enough to do this, and I don't know enough to do that. Nobody really needs me. That'd be like saying, just because I don't necessarily understand where or what my pancreas is doing, I don't need that, I don't need this. How dangerous! Don't let a low opinion of yourself rob the body of Christ from what it is you give us. The body of Christ operates with every part doing what it was designed to do by God. Don't take yourself out because you think low of yourself. Rather, change your thinking and think high on God and allow Him to place you where He wants you. Does that make sense? These folks are going to take themselves out just because they think low of themselves. What are some reasons that we think low of ourselves? Why would the feet think low of themselves and say, the foot says, because I'm not a hand? Well, I mean, would you want to hold somebody's foot or hand? Never mind you. He's up here hand-holding right now, crying out loud. You know, we think, well, the feet are kind of stinky. They're weird looking. They're awkward. Mine, I have a bunion. So my big toe points in. Like, and there's a big knot on the side of my foot. And it's calloused on the bottom. I don't think it's because I walk so much. I think it's because I'm just heavy. You know, I don't know. And it's speckled. I have like freckled, speckly feet. Little hairs on them. It's weird. But now where would I go without my feet? Should I let my feet, if my feet could do the thinking for themselves, like parts of the body of Christ can do thinking for themselves, if my feet could say, look, even though we carry your big tail around all day, we don't get the respect we deserve and we feel kind of low, so we're taking off. What kind of, you know, I'm like, wait, what do you need? Need better shoes? You need more treatment? We need you. Don't go anywhere. And at the same time, when the foot is complaining about not being the hand, the ear overhears it and says, you know, and I'm not an eye. And everybody's really concerned on what they see, not what they hear. Even though the Bible says that hearing comes by faith, and faith by the Word of God, you'd think the ear would be more prominent. You know, but since we're not, me and the feet, we're taking off. Wait! Don't go! We need you! They have a commercial out. I kind of like it. It's where they'll have an actor, and then they'll have that same actor, but he or she will be dressed in all red, and they have a big heart on them, and they have their bags, and they said, hey, you're neglecting us. We're out of here. We're leaving. We're not working for you no more. And they're like, heart, wait! We need you! Yeah, but you say you need me, but you keep doing that stuff. You keep smoking and eating that junk and not exercising and all that stuff. You act like you need me, but you don't treat me good. And in the commercial, you know, they come to an understanding and the heart stays and they're going to try to make it better. Y'all, listen. In the body of Christ, don't take yourself out because you think low of yourself or you think other people think low of you. Maybe you think that your past is going to dictate your future. Can I tell you, that's not the case in Christ. You might think, man, I'll never amount to anything. I won't ever be able to go here or do this or do that. Not in Christ. That doesn't mean the church is perfect at getting everybody incorporated at once. But I'm going to tell you, you hold on. You're needed in the body of Christ. You're wanted by Christ. And we need what He's given you. Like the other parts of the body that we just don't know where they are and what they're doing. But we need you. Does that make sense? Don't take yourself out. But then there's another group of people. They don't suffer from self-esteem issues. Not low ones. Not at all. Listen to them. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, no, I don't need you. You know, you just I'm not quite sure what you do. So, adios. You know, sometimes people can get the big head, you know, in church. And sometimes they can get prideful and they think, it's really all about me. All this is for me. None of this for you. I know what you're thinking. I wish I could sing like him. Man, sometimes we think we don't need anybody. Just get out of my way. Let me do what I do. And usually it's loudmouth people, preacher types and stuff. That's what I've heard. You know, that's all I need. Can I tell you? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to think that we don't need each other. It's prideful. But I'm going to tell you, I run into the same thing. I remember when I was a young Christian and a young man. And I walked into a church building that had been there for 50 or 60 years. Means there had been decades of people who had been paying and investing in that church, in that building, in that investment, in that body. And I walked in, I got saved, I was 19 years old, and I walked in like I had to introduce Jesus for real to these people. Like, too bad none of y'all know Jesus like I do. I know I just showed up, but I'm about to tell you, about to show you. And I remember just thinking how arrogant I was, how obnoxious I was. I ain't putting that on everybody that's a young Christian. But I'm telling you about myself. And it was an insight to me. I came across a paper that had names on it. It was a prayer request sheet. And it was made out about 2 years before I came to know Christ. It had my name on it. Because that church body was praying for me and praying for my buddy Jeff, who is now the pastor of that church, and my buddy Matt, who's the youth pastor at that church. And they were praying for us. And I walked in like I didn't need anybody. I wasn't there except for there was people in the body praying and asking that I might get saved. What a humbling thing. Man, we need each other. And just because we don't understand what everybody else is doing or all that, that's no reason to say we don't need each other. We're all connected. Let me give you a connected story that just happened. It's just really kind of cool. It's a couple years ago. I think it's been 2 years. Sarah went through a program called Leadership Grenada through the Chamber of Commerce. It's a good program. Jessica's going through it now. It's a neat program. I've been through it. Some others have been through it. And she made some contacts there. And, you know, you just kind of meet people and talk to people, and it's pretty cool. One of the people she met, her name was Kelly. And they had just talked, and they just got to know each other. And, you know, things just kind of rock and rolled on. It's all good. Well, Kelly does activity something, coordinators, stuff for different nursing homes. And she works at the Grace, but it's called Grenada Rehab. And she was working there, and she came across the case of a man who had not been hostile toward God, but didn't really have any time for God. He had his own business. He was stern. You know, his children said, man, he was stern with his employees, stern with his family, but he wasn't hostile toward God, but never went to church, never talked about God. Didn't have any time for God. He was a businessman. He was a working man. He got diagnosed with cancer. They thought he had pneumonia. He hadn't been doing really good. He had lost a lot of weight. He got diagnosed with cancer, and in approximately 4 to 6 weeks, lost 70 to 80 pounds. Just... When he got diagnosed, they said, there's no treatment option available for you, sir. You got it in your head, your lungs, your bones, your legs. It's throughout your whole body. It's pervasive. They didn't try to treat him. You know, I don't think it was an option. When he got that news, he said, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be saved and I want to be baptized. So somehow or another, that got... That word from the family and from him, because they put him into the rehab center, and they said that got to Kelly. Kelly got to thinking about her relationship with Sarah and said, "Hey, maybe Big John at Christ Community Church can talk to this fella because he's a big guy, and this guy was a big guy. It's a big guy connection." And Stephanie, who is a nurse practitioner and a leader over there, said, "Hey, I know how to get a hold of Big John." And the body started working. It was like one nerve and one part and this and that. And then they got a hold of me and I was able to get there. And this guy, he wanted to be saved. You know, it's kind of cool to talk to somebody who wants to be saved. And so on Thursday, Thursday week ago, he gave his life to the Lord. And it was just awesome. Gave me a chance too to talk to his family, talk to his son and talk to his daughter. And find out about their salvation. You know, so a whole thing started going. But he wanted to be baptized too. So we baptized him this past Monday. We baptized him the first time. Baptized him in bed. Because he couldn't be moved. So I mean, we just leaned him forward and poured water on his head. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because he couldn't be moved anywhere. Well, I figured this. Y'all listen. That's not our normal mode of baptism. But you know what? What's normal anyways, and who cares about that? We're after seeing God get glory for things. And that guy, we didn't know then. We figured, but we didn't know then. On his deathbed, not only prayed to receive Christ, but got baptized in front of his son, his daughter, his grandson, friends of the family, some workers there. He got to give that witness and that testimony. And then Thursday, he went to be with the Lord. This past Thursday. Boom. Can I tell you? The body of Christ needs to work like that. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be this part, that this part connected to that part, to that part. Y'all, there's a different reason why you know the people you know and you work in the place that you work and we know the people we know and the timing and our schedule and all works together to bring glory to God. Man, I'm amazed at what God does. And it's just awesome. In this last part of the last part of this section I read, verse 28 through 31, through the first part of 31, there's some specific gifts that are mentioned. And some of those gifts, I kind of lump them together. If you want to know more about the spiritual gifts, come and talk to me. We'll study together. We'll do some of this, but I'm going to lump some of these together. Some of these are congregational gifts or leadership gifts, like the apostle, the prophet, the teacher. These are people who are speaking the word. These are people who are standing in the front, and they're providing leadership. They're giving a message. They're sharing the truth of who God is through His word. These are congregational gifts. Okay, some people have those. Some people have gifts of service. This one it says, sign gifts are what next. It says, some work miracles. Some have gifts of healing. I don't want this to sound selfish, but I'm not one of those that believe that God stops doing. I believe God has the freedom to do whatever kind, give whatever kind of gifts God wants. He's the giver. You know, so I don't, some theology today, some especially among Baptists, really, they believe in what's called cessation, that some gifts have stopped after the book of Acts or after the biblical time. And I just don't have any reason to believe that, biblically or otherwise. These gifts of miracles and healings, we know what they're for. We see them in the Gospels. We see them in the book of Acts. John and Peter in Acts chapter 3, somebody gets healed. And then what happens? They use that as a platform to share the gospel with everybody. There's a miracle that happens. Jesus does a miracle and He multiplies the loaves and the fishes. And what happens? Man, people get an understanding to know who it is that's teaching them. Man, we ought not be opposed to any gifts that God gives us. Can I tell you, and this one is, and I will talk on this more, especially when we get into chapter 14, but the gift of tongues in the book of Acts is a sign gift. That first Pentecost Sunday, these guys are all speaking in different languages, and the people, there was 13 different languages represented, and each heard in their own language, and that was a sign that God was among the apostles. It was used as a sign gift at that point. Man, if God gives you a gift, do what you would do if anybody else gave you a gift. Say thank you, and then use it. Say thank you, and then use it. Okay? And that's with all of these. There's also gifts of service. The gift of helping. The gift of guidance. Sometimes the gift of wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits. These are there to help guide and to help people and to give counsel. Man, we need all those gifts in the body. Sometimes there's personal gifts. And I think this is where another place where the gift of tongues is. It's a personal prayer language. That's what's going to be presented in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But if God gives it to you, say thank you and use it. There's the interpretation of tongues. If God gives it to you, say thank you and use it. Do what God's going to lead you in this, but I'm going to tell you, whatever gift He gives you, it's for the benefit of the body. It's for the benefit of the mission. It's for the glory of God. It's never just to glorify one person. It's not to make one group stand out over the other. It's not to have the haves and the have-nots over here. It's to glorify and draw the body together. The gifts are to bring the body together. Let's look at this. Do you all know the word no? Do you know how to say that in English? Let's practice. On the count of three, let's say no, if you know how. One, two, three.
No.
Well, I heard a variation of no's in there. All right, we're going to work on it, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, the answer is no, okay? When I point to you, I want you to give me your best no, all right? Are all apostles?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Do all work miracles?
No.
Do all have gifts of healing?
No.
Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?
No.
Anybody confused?
No.
Alright, amen. Woo, we got it. That's it. No more spiritual gifts till next year. No. Y'all, listen. There's a reason why that's in there. So we don't develop this sense of uniformity and everybody's got to do this and everybody's got to do that and everybody, you know, we when the church falls into everybody's got to do, there's a problem. We're not trusting our great big God who put different parts in different places for His purpose. You know, we ought not ever get bound up and everybody ought to be like me. Everybody ought to be like my hero over here. The only person that we're striving to be like in our spiritual growth is Christ. Be like Him. He's always the model of spiritual growth that we're shooting for. No spiritual gift is given to all the members. Verse 31 says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." And we'll touch on that next week when we look at the greatest way of all. But when it says eagerly desire the greatest gifts, one thing that it reminds me is a spiritual gift, kind of like a talent that you may have, needs to be developed. It needs to be developed. You know, don't just say, well, God's given me this gift and so I don't ever got to practice or I don't got to rehearse or I don't got to hone or I don't got to pray. No sense in me praying about what I'm going to preach about because God gave me this gift of preaching. That's not how those things work. You develop them. You refine them. You invest in them. You grow. You investigate them. Okay? Develop these gifts that you've been given. If somebody gave you a gift because they saw you might have some music potential, so they give you a guitar, and you don't ever practice because you think you just got this potential, when you pick that up one day, make sure you're alone because it's going to really be bad when you first start playing, whether you have a gift or not. You've got to develop it. You've got to grow in it. Okay? And so that last part reminds me of that. But I just want to remind you, listen, Christ Community Church, we belong to each other like a body. That's the idea. Okay? The body of Christ. What's cool about this body is that this isn't the only, we're not the only part. Now, I believe there's different parts within this body. We might have a more predominant part. I think we're the fun bone, you know what I'm saying, in the body of Christ. Not the humdrum bone, which seems to be a lot, a whole ribcage of humdrum bones in the body of Christ. But we're the funny bone. And, you know, we're there to remind everybody not to take themselves so seriously, but to take God very seriously. And you know what? I can have fellowship with every church in this town because I know that it's not about our denomination or our church or any other thing. I know it's about Christ. And I know that though they're not the same as we are, they're different, but that's okay. I'm not afraid of other folks. We ought not be afraid of other folks. We ought to say God is working through it and God can do it because we're part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? It's just good. It's just good. If you're here this morning and you'd say, man, I want to be a part of the body of Christ. How do I be a part of the body of Christ? Well, there is a door, right, that you got to walk through. Okay? I'm going to say, uh-oh, it's that one. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that one. Honestly, it's that one. You see the cross? Christ, He's the door. Nobody's a part of the body of Christ that hasn't come to be forgiven and born again through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm pointing to that wall. We got those things depicted on that wall. One of our students did those when he was 12-ish. You know, and it just is a reminder to me, He's the door. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, He says, I am the door. In chapter 14, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Me. So if you're not a part of the body of Christ, we want to invite you. God's for us, not against us. The door is wide open. The door is Christ Himself. And when you put your faith in Him, He will receive you. He says, I will receive everyone the Father draws to Me. I will by no means turn them away. That's in John chapter 6. So if you need to know Christ, just come and ask Him. Say, I need to know You and be a part of Your body. If you already know Christ and you've been sitting on your gift, maybe thinking too low of yourself, come and say, Lord, I'm putting all that behind me because I know You've made me for a purpose and You've put me in a place for a purpose. If you think too high of yourself and you don't think you need anybody else, don't come forward. Let God kneecap you. Oh, or you could come forward and just handle it now in a better way. You know, but God will get you. God knows how to humble the proud. You understand? He knows how to do that. And so we don't want to do that. If you know that you've kind of said, I don't need anybody else, and you live that kind of, you know, you're Rambo, you're not really Rambo, and you need to come up here and just say, Lord, forgive me of that. All right? All right. Let's pray. Father God, Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity again that we've had just to share your word. Grow us as a church. Grow us as the body of Christ. Fill the people in this place, Lord, that we might really know what it is you've made us for, what gifts you've given to us, and how it is that we're to develop them and to grow all of it to be for your glory and the benefit of the church. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time. You can respond. You can come up here and respond. You can stand up where you are and respond. You can sit down and respond. You can go home and respond. It don't matter. But just know this. The Word of God's not going to change. And if He tapped something in you today that says, hey, we need this. I want this to happen in you. He's going, don't fuss with them. Don't fight against them. Walk with them. All right? Respond to them. Amen? Okay, y'all look. Did I step? Were y'all done? I feel, are we okay? Are we okay, us? We're okay, right? You're all quiet. You're stunned. You're just in your place. Amen. God loves us. Isn't it good? I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. And as they do, it's just a reminder that part of our worship is in giving. It just shows a tangible, hey, we're trusting God. And it's an awesome opportunity. But as you do, Miss Lenny came up here and she did what the Bible said do. If anyone is sick, let him come to the elders of the church and they'll pray for her. Or they'll pray for them and they'll pray that they'll be healed. And I just want to tell you right now, before Gary, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for the offering. Before Gary prays, after the offering, we're going to have a time of gathering up here and praying for Lenny. The cancer, the doctor has given her a diagnosis of cancer. But we know a great physician who's greater than that. And so we're coming not just for a second opinions, but we're praying for healing. And we're praying for a clean bill of health, 100%. So when we're done, when we've taken the offering, essentially our service will be concluded. But I want to invite anybody who is willing from the body of Christ to come forward that we might pray for our sister who has asked us to pray for her. Okay? Let me just remind again. Just thank you all for being here. It's always good to be gathered together. We are gonna pray for Lenny now, and but let me go ahead and pray and dismiss for anybody who wants to go. We don't ever want people to feel like, man, I can't, because we're not putting necessarily a cap on how long we need to pray. I don't imagine it's going to go on for days or years, but you know what I'm saying. If anybody needs to go, this will be the end of the service. So let me say, remind you that if you feel God leading you to join Christ Community Church, we're having a membership class on October 28th. Make sure God's leading you. Otherwise, you'll be really upset once you'll be like, oh man. But if God's leading you, you'll find this is right where you need to be. There's just a bunch of stuff going on. Look in your bulletin and get involved in it. It's good stuff. Let me pray for us. Those who need to go will be dismissed, and those who want to come, come up here, and we're going to pray for Miss Lenny. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise you as a church, as your body. And we pray that you'd use us. Use us in those who need to come to know the Lord. Use us to be those who are praying for those who are sick. Use us to those who are teaching and reaching. And Father, just use us up for your glory. And we love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Ready? Break.